So who are you going to be?
Oh, it'll be a surprise.
Okay, well, we might be the same people then.
I don't think we will.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to be the same people. I'm going to be an awesome person.
Me too.
Are you there?
Yeah.
We can't both be Aaron Brockovich.
No.
Okay. All right, I'll go first. I'm the Limey.
And I'm the Limey.
In which case, you better tell them. You tell them it's Lethal Watching. Damn it, Jared.
I told you I was going to be someone awesome.
I told you I was going to be someone awesome.
We were both someone awesome.
He's an awesome guy, isn't he?
The Limey, yeah.
Well, that also hits two beats that we're going to talk about today, isn't it?
Okay, cool. Yeah,
there you go.
Link.
See, look at that, there's a link there. Hello, Jared.
Hello, Phil.
Hello, Martin. There's no Martin.
No Martin. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. He's going to dip in at some point. But at the start, it's old school Lethal Watching.
Old school to the maximum.
How many episodes like this did we do? Was it 12?
On our own?
Yeah.
Was it not more than that?
I can't remember.
Well, I think it was loads.
It felt like loads.
I think it was loads.
I think it was, what, 7 or 8 years?
Yeah, about that.
But I think that's what it felt like in effort time.
Yeah. Remember, I was doing all the editing at that time.
Happy days.
Happy days.
Happy days.
Then I don't have a Mac anymore, therefore editing stopped.
You can still, like, you know...
No, I can't.
You can download Audacity.
Nah. Audacity's so hard to edit in.
Yeah, but I had to do it in Audacity.
It's not worth the hassle.
But I had to do it in Audacity. When you stopped editing, I didn't have a Mac. I had to do it in Audacity.
Yeah, but now you do, and therefore...
Yeah, but you can help out sometimes, Jared, for God's sake.
I'll do the one that's just raw.
What, the one you don't actually edit at all? Disgusting. Anyway, how are you, Gerard?
I'm pretty good. Yourself?
Yeah, I've been following your workouts on the Facebook.
Oh, I'm working out.
As you're like in some kind of Chinese commune, like taking up heavy things of water up steps and stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. It's essentially that. It's essentially every montage you've ever thought of in an 80s movie.
I've thought of a lot of montages, Jared.
But that's me. You think of those montages, and that's what I do.
That's you doing them, is it?
Yeah. For instance, tomorrow there will be rope ladder climbing. There will be tractor tire flipping. There will be sled pushing.
Oh, my goodness. Sled pushing.
Yeah.
Isn't that essentially Rocky IV's training montage?
Pretty much.
Oh, goodness me.
So it's pretty awesome.
Is there a nearby mountain that you run up at the top and go, Drago?
Actually, I didn't, but the other ones who go to the same gym went up to a mountain nearby here recently.
Did they shout? Did they shout Drago from the top?
I don't think they would have, Phil. I think it really would have took me.
It needs you to bring that magic to it, doesn't it?
To have been there, to have done that, yeah.
I know what you're doing while it's working out anyway, because it's 2 weeks till ConCon.
I'm going to flex my pecs in your face.
You're just going to be there, like, stadium in the oil fight scene. Transport, ripping your shirt off, getting...
No, I'm not bringing any hand luggage. I'm bringing 2 dumbbells.
And that's it.
I'm just going to stand in the background while you're all playing games, going,
just pumping iron.
Yeah. And then once I'm done with pumping the dumbbells, I'm going to pump everyone at ConCon.
Oh, wow. This is something to look forward to. I think for people who don't know what ConCon is, it's like some kind of convention based around the dearly departed Castlevania TV show thing.
Which neither of us have been to before.
No, we've not been. This is what, the sixth one, and
yeah,
we've never been to them before. Me and Gerard, and a lot of other people have, and we've been badgered for a long time.
And now we're going.
So therefore, this is going to be the most awesome one.
the most awesome con that's ever been a con.
Yeah. I'm trying, keep it between you and me, Jared, I'm trying to get a 10-player Multima, 10-player Saturn Bomberman going.
Yeah, you're looking for a multi-tap, are you?
That's you wouldn't have thought it, but for like a nearly 20-year-old console, that's surprisingly hard to find.
You know what? Actually, there was a retro shop whenever I lived in Birmingham that was just around the corner from me, and I bet you any money they would have had it.
Oh, that's good to know. The place where you don't live anymore. The place where you don't live anymore, which is, you know, hundreds of miles away from where you are currently.
Yeah.
They might have one, possibly.
I bet you there would be one there.
Well, there was a fella I said I wanted on eBay. I've got some irons in the fire with him. There's a retro shop in town. I need to check and see if they got some in there as well. So, you know, there's stuff in there. And then we just need to find eight joypads. It's going like a dream so far.
So have you got enough? Have you got enough controllers in that?
I don't know. I got my Sega Saturn from my parents' house, and my official pad's broken, and the third party pad's still working. What do you think about that? That's crazy talk, isn't it? Normally, the official ones last longer. Ross 87th, he's supplying the Saturn and Bomberman. I think he's got two. So that's what, three pads?
So okay.
Three minus 10 is seven.
Seven.
Seven short at the moment.
Seven short, and I'm assuming there's no one else really has one.
Yeah. Well, some people must have Saturns up there in Scotland, Scotch land,
the land of Irish whiskey.
Exactly. And I'm looking forward to eating some inappropriately deep fried food as well.
I'm sure there's no such thing exists as a Saturn controller adapter.
Oh, that's an idea. So like, you could use other pads on it.
Yeah.
Oh, Gerard, look at you.
That's just thinking, but I'm sure there isn't.
Yeah, I'm sure. Thanks, Jared.
There's new... Oh, that's for an emulator. $5.95. That's no good.
No good at all, is it? No, we'll work something out. At least if we can even get one multi-tap and a few pads, that'll still be awesome.
Yeah, well, even if you had four, it would be good, but...
I think we can all agree Bomberman is quite possibly the greatest multiplayer game ever.
Well, yeah. Circuit Breakers is pretty good.
Huh?
Circuit Breakers.
What?
Sorry, it was like a Micro Machines styly PlayStation and Sega Saturn 2 Dreamcast controller gamepad converter.
Not helping, Jared.
I'm just thinking.
The one where you like the running people. You like running. Is it that one? The running.
What one? Circuit Breakers?
Yeah.
No, you were little cars.
Not as good
and
as Bomberman.
And Pro Evo, of course.
Not as good as Bomberman.
And Goldeneye.
Still not as good as Bomberman, though.
And I can't remember.
Not as good as Bomberman. I'm just going to keep saying that because nothing is as good as Bomberman.
No.
Because, you know, it's Bomberman.
We'll find out whenever three people can play it.
Maybe Mario Kart, you know? Bit of crazy
Mario Kart.
Have you ordered your Mario Kart yet?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to be rubbish, but I'll practice for a day or two and then just be excellent.
That's how it works, isn't it? Yeah. With a good montage sequence and you're there, aren't you?
Pretty much. In fact, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down to the gym and just go do play Mario Kart, no tire flips.
Just sat on like the multi-trainer playing Mario Kart.
I will do it.
Do you reckon that'll go down well with the muscle-bound people in your gym?
What? Me playing Mario Kart in the corner?
Yeah, they're all like they're lifting like heavy things and you're like, I'm sorry, I need to practice with the cornering thing.
Controller. I was a whiz at Mario DS, so
We'll see. Were you one of the cheaters who was doing the snaking thing? I bet you were.
I just flat out won.
You were a big cheating meanie, I bet.
Mm.
He's not denying it. He's not denying it. Therefore, you're a big cheating
meanie. I was good at, pretty good at snares one.
Was that, I believe, if I remember correctly from last year, I believe that was the one where the tournament was held for the Jacket of Champions.
Was it?
That is currently in the arms of, I believe, Cameron Phillips from Break for Frogger. I think he's.
But I think the first one they had the Coke, didn't they? They had
Yeah, that's what Cameron owns, the Coke of Champions, which is looks terrific.
I wonder if that will be back.
It better be. I'll be sort of because I want to bring it, you know, south of the border where it belongs.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know
what, Phil?
Yeah,
that's not. Movies.
Sorry, we got distracted by talking about ConCon.
Cut this bit out.
All right, I'll cut that out, and then we'll talk about some films that we've seen recently.
Well, I think there's really only one film to talk about, isn't there?
Yeah, I saw Behind the Candelabra.
Yeah, it was good. Right, moving on.
Is that it? Moving on now. Go on, then.
We're done. Well, what do you think, Phil? What do you think we're going to talk about? What do you think we're going to talk about?
Well, I went through a thing watching the three Matrix films again.
Oh, right. Well, that was stupid.
Yeah, it was.
Did you do that?
Bored, you know. I thought I'll just watch the three of them back to back and see what it's like. And it was like
odd.
First was like, yeah. Second was like, yeah. Third was like, oh god.
Yeah, that was a silly idea. Phil.
But you know, the end of the Matrix Revolutions, and this is where the story gets interesting. Kind of dealt with this superhero battle across a big city.
Ooh, there is that.
You see where I'm going with this, Gerard? You see where I'm going with this? Yep, this was one particular...
Isn't in Behind the Candelabra.
It's not in Behind the Candelabra. But the fight between Smith and Neo, they're kind of flying around the city like a superhero character. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of bashing each other through stuff and they're punching each other so hard that sonic booms are going up through the raid and stuff. Mm-hmm. It didn't look great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looked good, but you could, like, I think we discussed before that the CG in The Matrix hasn't aged that well. It's the characters look a bit rubbery.
rubbery dubbery.
Fake rubbery dubbery. And you could really kind of tell that. So it looked a little bit kind of, you know, the old Sonic Boom punches.
Yeah.
Looked good. So I watched that and then I thought, you know what? I wonder what this will look like when the same fight's done in Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to see that at the cinema.
And?
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, we're done with that section, right? Moving on.
Probably wasn't the film I thought in my head that it was going to be.
Yeah. Well, what did you think it was going to be then?
Well, I suppose I still had the suspicion in my mind that it wasn't going to be just quite as flat out serious as it ended up being.
Yeah.
You know, when we were talking about the trailer and there was the bit with
Lois,
Henry Cavill, and them talking at the table.
Yeah,
you know, I thought there would be more of that slightly more light sort of stuff to it, but it wasn't. I mean, it didn't bother me that it was sort of pretty serious. But
would you say po-faced? I personally, I would say it bordered on po-faced.
Yeah, it probably did. You know, because I mean, as much as people, I mean, first of all, I didn't, like, a lot of people were giving off about it saying, well, it's nothing like the Christopher Reeve movies. Well, that's just stupid. That doesn't bother me, right? Yeah. It's nothing like Christopher Reeve movies. Well, there's nothing going to be like Christopher Reeve movies because Christopher Reeve's dead.
And they tried that.
He's not going to be in this one. So
they tried the Superman Returns. It didn't work, did it? So
you're not going to get another Christopher Reeve movie. So there's no point in saying it's not like Christopher. They tried that with Superman Returns. It failed.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, so done. End of. That's, I'm happy enough with that.
Yeah.
The second thing was, what else were they talking? Well, yeah. Okay. So it was quite serious. Fine. Okay. That's okay. I probably would have liked it to have been not like the Christopher Reeve movies, but just with a bit more of. I mean, I don't want it to be the Avengers because it's not the Avengers.
Yeah. I mean,
people were comparing it to the Marvel movies. And I think the Marvel movies are probably more, in inverted commas, comic book. You know, they have more, probably, of that comic book.
Maybe like a broader tone.
Yeah. You know, they like all of the Marvel movies have that. I mean, Iron Man has all that superhero action and everything else, and then the sort of the lighthearted areas to it. Captain America, the same. Thor, the same. Avengers, very much the same. They all have that big action, blockbuster, sci-fi stuff, but then that bit of humor and all to them. And I mean, certainly the Avengers with Joss Whedon doing it, you know, yeah. It became...
Oh, it has some killer lines. The Avengers did. Come on.
And hilarious. I suppose in comparison, DC's movies so far are a hell of a lot serious, more serious. Even Green Lantern is more serious, you know, yeah. In general.
There were a few kind of like lines. It's probably closest
in tone, even though the film overall isn't brilliant. It's probably the closest in tone to the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
I mean, the Batman films are all very serious. And yes, Superman, it is a serious movie. They don't go in for laughs. There's, you know, overall, there's no, it's a straight up sort of action, sci-fi, superhero movie. And that's fine. And I do see people's problems with, because you mentioned it there, I do see people's problems with the scale of destruction and everything that went on. But I think there will be, you know, I think that will have repercussions.
In like the next film?
Yeah, you know, I think there will be repercussions. People saying, well, you know, Superman, why didn't he fly, you know, Zod somewhere else to get away from all the devastation and everything that happened and blah, 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 blah. Well, I have to, and, you know, people said he flew into like a petrol station and blew it up. Well, I like to think that Superman knew there wasn't going to be anybody there.
Yeah. Because
maybe that's just me, but I don't know. You know, it's I accept people's issues with it. I don't understand the way some people think that their issues with it make the film, you know, utterly terrible.
Yeah, it's nowhere near as terrible. I mean, the main review I read was Mark Waid's one, which is quite an interesting review and quite a good take on it.
And I think if anyone's going to have a take on Superman, it's Mark Waid.
Yeah, I mean, considering his history of the character.
What you've got to say is, well, Mark Waid, Kingdom Come, that's fairly serious. You know, yeah. Superman and that is not ha-ha, chuckle-chuckle. Superman's never ha-ha, chuckle-chuckle.
Yeah, but his main issue, though, it was with the choice Superman makes at the end, which, you know, spoilers, folks, spoiler. Sonic Boom neck snaps General Zod.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he was kind of like, his point was the whole thing about Superman doesn't kill, which I think Superman...
But he has done.
But I mean, he
and that's what caused him then to say, I'm never going to kill again.
Yeah. There was that thing in, like a similar bit at the end of Kingdom Come, if I'm going to refer back to Mark Waid's work, where, like, Superman's got the excuse to kind of kill everybody and he doesn't.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, like, he was kind of thinking of the, like, but then that, they talk about different characters, I suppose, because that Superman in that film is, like,
yeah, see, it's not, curious, this isn't he? So, Mark Waid's Superman. I mean, this Superman in this film isn't anyone's Superman. It's his own Superman. Superman, isn't it? It's like, and people say, oh, well, fair enough, you know, like, he kills Zod to save these four people when hundreds and millions of people have died, probably as a result of what's been happening up to that point. Well, that's all well and good, but he's faced with looking at these people about to get killed.
Yeah.
And, you know, who's to say that he wouldn't have tried to kill Zod? You know, he didn't, like, he could have probably killed Zod way early on.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to kill him. Like, it's not, the point is that it's not that he kills Zod, and it's not when he kills him. He doesn't want to kill him, but it gets to that point where he realizes, I think, at that stage, when Zod is about to kill his brother, he will not stop.
Yeah.
He's going to have to do something.
I like the way people kind of, like, compared it to when, at the end, in Doctor Who, when the Master dies.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, the Doctor Who character is kind of properly cut up about it, because that's the last part of his world that's dead. It's essentially what's happened there to Superman. Like, the last part of his world is completely dead.
But the thing is, all the rest have gone to the Phantom Zone, and people come in and out of the Phantom Zone fairly regularly.
Well, we'll see. Maybe the punchy Kryptonian lady will be back.
I don't think they'll recreate more Kryptonian. I mean, they're talking about... I'd hope they don't. They're talking about Doomsday. I think stay away from Doomsday and any death and return.
Yeah, leave that for a fair while, I think.
I'm happy that if they want to have Lex Luthor in it, but as long as it's not some sort of property scam, I don't mind.
Yeah.
Because I don't think this Superman wouldn't let that other stuff fly. You know, this Superman would just be like, right, well, I'm going to just... Because this Superman... I think would just be, you know, like in Superman Returns, and there's all that fanny stuff out in the Kryptonian landmass thing. Something tells me that this Superman wouldn't have let that happen at this stage, because he wouldn't have been stalking Lois for half and missing that this was going on. I mean, Superman.
He's a bit of an idiot sometimes.
You know, you go up into space and you listen and you can hear all this stuff going out, and yet you never once think to listen out for where Lex Luthor's at.
There's so many kind of bad logic choices in that.
Brainiac would be reasonable, I suppose. I mean, the problem, I think Superman's... It's hard probably to get a villain. Zod works because he's his equal as such.
Exactly, yeah, because he's like his nemesis, isn't he? He's like the dark version of his powers.
It's hard to get someone who can give that kind of...
the visceral aspect of it.
And that's why I think they'll do some sort of Mickey Dead Returns. I mean, I don't think they should, because he's only just new. You know, you can't sort of go straight into like Doomsday type stuff.
No, I need to build up to that.
And plus Doomsday, if they have Doomsday, well, that's just going to be more destruction and blowing shit up. And they may do it, because, I mean, it's essentially what Michael Bay did for three Transformers movies.
That's true. I understand people's problems with that, but, I mean, to be fair, it did look bloody amazing.
It did, and it looked pretty amazing, and it sounded great, and he's a great Superman, and Lois Lane's pretty good Lois Lane, and all, you know, I had no problems with the structure of the movie. I liked the fact that it was flashbacks rather than starting off. The whole Krypton thing at the start was pretty great.
Krypton was, I really thoroughly enjoyed, like, the whole world they kind of developed around Krypton was,
yeah.
Well, A, it looked different from the Richard Donner crystal stuff. It kind of had its own look to it, which I thought was probably its biggest success with Krypton.
Yeah.
I think it's quite easy to fall back into those kind of similar tropes of, like, what's been done before.
But that's,
they
and that's
pretty much stayed away from Smallwood, didn't they?
A lot of people annoyed because it isn't what was done before.
But it had to be something else, though, because it's almost to the point of being a self-parody. They kind of kept with that tone.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I liked it, but anyone who I've heard, like, who's been going on about how they didn't like it, it just sounds really whiny. They just sound really whiny to me.
Yeah.
You know, everything just sounds like it's just a whine.
Yeah, like a whine.
Well, we'll see. Well, you know, we'll see. I, you know, we're definitely going to get a sequel.
We're going to get a sequel.
So,
the soundtrack's awesome as well. I mean, that's undeniable.
Yeah, all the music's great. I'm surprised it's not here yet, my soundtrack CD.
Not arrived yet. You thought it'd be there.
You can't get it elsewhere.
You thought it'd be there faster than the Speeding Bullet, wouldn't you?
You would have thought it would have been here by now, but no.
Hold on, Marty's online now.
Hello.
So me and Jared both decided that Superman was shit. Do you agree?
What was that?
Me and Jared decided...
You both reckon Man of Steel shit?
Yeah, it's rubbish. What do you think, Jared?
Yeah, pish.
Pish.
Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
No, we didn't, Martin. Hello, Martin.
Hello. Here I am to save the day, just like Chris Jericho in the WWF. Yes, Man of Steel is awesome.
Is it, though? Is it? Why is it awesome, Martin?
Because it is. It doesn't need to justify itself. Have you gone over, like, everyone criticising? Have you gone over and corrected them?
Jared called them a bunch of whiners.
Good. Excellent. Have you caught up on the people who... Because there was a report, I don't know if you mentioned this, but someone's written a report that saying that here's why everyone who complained about all these points are wrong. And here's why. There's one point missing from that list, and that is the people who complain about General Zod being killed by Superman.
Yeah.
And to them, I say, watch Superman 2 again, because if you think General Zod survives after the end of that...
The only way you know... Zod dies in the theatrical Superman 2, Zod dies.
Mm.
Now, in the Richard Donner cut, he doesn't die, but... He dies in Superman 2, and essentially they have the 1979 or whatever it was equivalent of the same battle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and yes, it's far more destructive than that. Well, that's because it's 2013, bitches, and we can do that. But okay, I don't know. I'm not, you know, people didn't like it. That's fine. I've no problem. If you didn't like it, that's okay. You don't have to like everything. Okay. But I just think a lot of the complaints about it are just people being whiny and really just picking stuff, you know, as a justification.
The thing that gets me as well is I've seen a lot of people compare it to Superman Returns, which is not really a fair...
It's not. This is what we said. I mean, it's not going to be... It's not going to be... You know, as I was saying, a lot of people were complaining because it wasn't like... the Christopher Reeves Superman, and I says, well, nothing's going to be like Christopher Reeves because Christopher Reeves isn't going to be in it. They tried that with Superman Returns and it was crap. So,
yeah. Super kid, man. Jesus Christ.
Stupid, you know, anyway.
And you know what's also nice is the fact that they've actually casted Lois Lane and Perry White effectively, because Frank Langella and the other woman was...
Oh, she's terrible.
Kate Boswell.
Yeah, that's the one.
Terrible.
Yeah. So. I'm quite looking forward to a sequel and where it's going to go with it.
I'm just going to see where it goes from here. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you want it to go straight into a Justice League film or build up like in another couple of Superman films?
I could see it build up, you know. I could see it build up a bit.
Yeah.
I don't think there should be any more Batman movies until Justice League, though.
You reckon?
No, I think leave Batman. Batman, everybody knows Batman. Batman can just appear and everybody be like, there's Batman.
There's Batman. We all know Batman.
To be honest with you, none of them needed none of these people needed origins. Superman didn't. I mean, Wonder Woman, I suppose, is out of the scene a bit.
Yeah,
you could have justified maybe a bit of intro to her, but everybody knows who Wonder Woman is. You know, this is not like Iron Man was a relatively probably unknown character to most mainstream people.
Oh yeah, he was like third tier character at best.
The whole thing. That was the whole thing with Iron Man, and that's where it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Thor as well. Like Thor's not really probably gonna like none of Marvel apart from Spider-Man, and probably that's it. Captain America, maybe. None of Marvel's, I don't think, would be universally as well known as Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have needed an intro to any of them. Man of Steel could have just started and not had. I mean, it did, but it didn't need it. Everyone knows who Superman is. Everyone knows where he came from. You know, I think a lot of people, this is actually just cutting back. I think a lot of people were ready to rag on Man of Steel before it came because there was this whole plot. This somebody somewhere mentioned that they didn't think Krypton was going to be destroyed, and then this garnered all these posts about people going, oh my god, do they not understand the point, blah 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 blah. The film hadn't been out yet, and I think people were just wanting to get on it.
Yeah,
you know, there was there was just some people I think weren't going to be happy with it.
Well, I think that's the Nolan Snyder factor. I think people are quite willing.
Hate Nolan, and people hate Snyder.
There's a backlash there. People, you know, people never like Sucker Punch, but I can't comment on. I've still not seen it.
Sucker Punch is rubbish.
Yeah. But again, it still has its fans. It does still have a cult following.
But then everything else he's done has been pretty decent. You know, not some of it's great. Dawn of Dead, great. I think 300 is great. Watchmen is pretty okay.
It's as good a Watchmen film as we'll get.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, again, everybody rags on Watchmen. Well, Watchmen wouldn't have been a good movie as it was. One, it would have been about 10 hours long.
Yeah.
And two, Alan Moore writes weird stuff.
Do you know what I mean? It's the beard, I swear to God.
So... But anyway, yeah, so you could have got away without any of those origins, and you could have got away without an origin in Man of Steel, but, you know, lo and behold, the report was wrong. Krypton did blow up.
What a surprise.
All those idiots have wrote, you know, put all these idiotic posts that are going to be still out in the internet where they whine for a page about
but
something.
But you know what? I would totally have a film on Krypton. I really enjoyed the world they built up. Yeah. In that kind of first 10 minutes, it was great. I think people kind of saw that and thought, hang on, Snyder could do a pretty good Star Wars film then if he's kind of hitting that beat quite well. So
Krypton's dead. So there we go.
You know what else as well? I thought it wouldn't have been a bad thing to have more Kevin Costner because I thought his job with Kent was
Kevin
top.
Costner. Yeah.
Yeah, Costner was good. I mean, the whole cast was good in that film.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a bad link. I mean, Cavill was a bit stiff in some bits. But it was mainly like, I think in the scenes with, who played his mum? Diane Lane played his mum. I don't think he's quite the actor who can kind of, when you put him against like a quote-unquote proper actor, you can kind of see his flaws, you know what I mean? I only kind of felt he was stiff in those scenes with her, but other than that, like, you know, all his Superman stuff was done was spot on, I thought.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that was it. He wasn't really ever really Clark Kent, was he?
No, that's the thing. But Shannon Azzard, you know, Stamp was a hard act to follow, and he flipping kicked that act in the nuts. And
but again, he's not the same Zod, you know.
It's the beard, isn't it? It's the beard.
It's a different kind of Zod.
The good beard he gets in that second half of that film. Little grey bit in the middle. Looks regal. That's what it does.
Mm.
Yeah, so we're all thumbs up to Man of Steel then.
We were.
Yep.
We're right.
Yep. But, I mean, to be honest, the best thing when I saw Man of Steel was seeing the Pacific Rim trailer. That was the best bit.
Yeah. Pacific Rim looks amazing.
Yeah, not as good as Atlantic Rim, which I posted on Facebook last night.
Atlantic Rim looks mega.
Do you see that, Martin?
I miss that. However, it does sound a bit pornographic.
It's from the Asylum. They do the fake blockbuster films.
Oh, okay.
That's their version of...
You should watch it. It's hilarious.
It's got the kind of one of the detectives from Die with a Vengeance is in it, some kind of military guy.
They've essentially watched, but their trailer, you can tell what they've done is they've made a film based on what they've seen in the trailers.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And what they think the movie's going to be like based on trailers, they've made a movie from that. Oh, it's hideous, but yeah, give it a watch. It looks funny.
Amazing. But Man of Steel, thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
On Monday.
Why on Monday?
Because that's when you test your smoke alarm.
Good safety tip. Thanks, Jared.
To get what I'm after till the day I die. I asked Bobby Dylan, I asked the Beatles, I asked Timothy Leary, but he couldn't help me either. They call me the Seeker. To get what I'm after till the day I die. People tend to hate me 'cause I never smile. As I ransack their homes, they wanna shake my hand. Focusing on nowhere, investigating miles. I'm a seeker, I'm a really desperate man. To get what I'm after till the day I die. I learned how to raise my voice in anger. Never look at my face, ain't this a smile? I'm happy when life's good, and when it's bad I cry. To get what I'm after till the day I die. I won't get to get what I'm after till the day I die.
All right, Martin, we tell you we're going to talk about Steven Soderbergh.
We've talked a lot about other stuff, though.
Right, I just want to do a quick wrap up on Steven Soderbergh. Just a little quick one.
Just a quick Soderbergh blast.
Yeah, Steven Soderbergh. Mainly because I saw Behind the Candelabra last week, which is a very good film, by the way.
Yeah, I've heard really good stuff about it.
It's a really, really good film. Michael Douglas and Matt Damon are really good in it. The problem with it is it's a bit of a TV film because it's not getting a theatrical release in America.
Is it not?
No, it's only through the HBO films today. I think it's only been shown on there. So whether or not it'll be, where it'll land in the award season, I don't know. Whether it'll be like eligible for the Oscars or not. But Douglas deserves some kind of award for it because he's really good in it. But the main thing is it's Steven Soderbergh's last film. Or like what he said is going to be his last film. Probably isn't going to be his last film, but that's just what he said about it before it came out. And I thought that was a bit interesting because Steven Soderbergh's really good, and I like a lot of his films. So I just thought we'd a quick kind of, you know, chat about his career and what we thought about it. Because I think he's got his fans and his detractors. I think they kind of rounded on him because of the Ocean's 11 films, which always felt like a bit like he was... I think the first one's kind of, you know, that's a good film, but the second two felt like he was just doing it for the paycheck. I mean, Ocean's 12 very much feels like they did it just so George Clooney could have a holiday in Italy with his friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Good. Mm. I thought you dropped I thought you'd all died then. But he's done some other very good films. Mainly
where do you I mean, we'll talk a bit more about his stuff, but where do you put this with the rest of his movies?
It's not like his grade A stellar work. I mean, it's very good work. It's kind of like a B-level film, I'd say. I think the film's kind of the budget was $23 million, so it's not like a small picture, but I kind of wonder how much was that for wages for Damon and Douglas. It just feels like a TV movie with a really, really good cast and a really good art budget. So it doesn't quite have the scope that you want in a film for the cinema, especially when you're kind of dealing with an artist like Liberace, who's like all about showmanship. It never quite goes into like that. Excuse me, into that kind of side of things of him, really. But it's still like a really good film, but it's not as good or as inventive as his like proper kind of top tier work.
Yeah,
and I would.
I mean, he does do a lot of sort of low key stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of started in that kind of independent stuff in the early 90s. Sex, Lies, and Videotape was the film that kind of put him on the map. I think that win Cannes?
Which one?
Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
You see,
which I think
I'm trying to think. Sex, Lies, and Videotape. It must be. I don't even know. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, when did it come out? 1989. So
1989. Yeah, it won the Palme d'Or.
Yeah, Palme d'Or. That kind of got him kind of big, kind of cultural respect. But I think it was very much a film of its time in that kind of independent American era. But, you know, I mean, it is an important film in that, because of the success of that film, that kind of begat the careers of like Kevin Smith and Quentin Tarantino and the other independent people from that kind of era. So it is like an important film. Whether or not it still holds up is, you know, a little bit suspect, because he did that film. He didn't follow it up for ages, really. I mean, he's just kind of like, the really good film then I remember him doing is Schizopolis, which is a very independent film, a very weird film, but very good though. Have you two seen that?
He seems to have, although I suppose he kept probably a lot of his independent type sort of style. He seemed to do, and it was all very much more weirder stuff until he got to sort of the sort of big Hollywood break one.
Yeah.
Which was probably Out of Sight, wasn't
it? That was probably like, I think Schizopolis was his film before that, and that kind of felt like he got rid of all of his kind of, you know, independent stuff. I mean, that film's got like flash forwards and people speaking Italian for no reason. It's a very weird film. And he kind of gets all of his independence up out of the system and then does Out of Sight, which has still got that kind of independent edge to it, because it's got that kind of great thing with the kind of color tones. It's got those the kind of silvers and the kind of modern stuff and the flashbacks all and the kind of bright yellows and stuff. But that's, I think, is a very, very good film that people kind of... Have people forgotten it a little bit?
What?
Out of Sight?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's probably remembered more as J-Lo's big break than anything else, I'd say.
Back when she could actually like act in good films.
Yeah, I would say it's probably remembered as J-Lo actually doing some acting and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Clooney as well, I suppose, probably, you know...
Yeah, but then he does what I feel is sort of a true masterpiece, which is The Limey.
Oh, The Limey is just amazing.
I love that film. I think that is probably Terrence Stamp's best film.
It's great, isn't it?
And it's brilliant. It's just his kind of Terrence Stamp at the center of that film just being so angry. He's an angry man. And he just hits people really hard.
He is just a pure bad ass.
Yeah. A little bit when he's like, "You tell them I'm coming.
You tell him I'm coming. Tell him I'm fucking coming."
Yeah, it's just a very, very, just a very, very badass man.
Yeah.
And you know, the funny thing about it is that they use the scenes from of Terrence Stamp in
It's like an older film, isn't it?
60s film.
Yeah, and he kind of comes back in as like the same character.
As if he's the same character.
Yeah. But then that's still like a very independent flavored film. It's got that kind of weird structure.
Yeah, that was more, it was as if he did Out of Sight, and then to me The Limey is more sort of Back the Ways.
Yeah. But then he kind of hits the proper mainstream with Erin Brockovich, which...
Well, that actually then was probably the sort of...
That was the kind of
major thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's from that then that he went on to do all the probably his biggest stuff then, you know. Although, I find Brockovich quite dry.
Mm.
You know, it's not really a kind of a just. It's not the kind of movie I would just sit down and want to watch. You know, it's a. He does have films like that. The Limey would be like that, and then Ocean's 11 would be like that.
Yeah.
Aaron Brockovich, not so much.
It's a very really. Kind of. I think it's a very kind of mainstream audience baited film. You got Julia Roberts. You got that kind of, you know, the lawyer from The Bad Side of the Tracks does good. It's a very kind of that kind of audience kind of sucking in that, you know, the mums and that kind of thing. And then whereas Ocean's 11 is kind of the other side of the mainstream audience. People just want to watch something kind of cool and flashy with George Clooney in it. Which, you know, the first one's good, apart from...
Ocean's 11 is actually really quite good. I really quite like Ocean's 11. They fall apart after that, the two sequels, but... Yeah.
I think it's Don Cheadle's English accent. That's what brings it down.
Yeah. The Ocean's 11, the first one, I think is a very slick, movie. And then, of course, from it then... You actually got it led on to like the remake of what do you call it, The Italian Job and stuff. You know, they were all direct.
Oh yeah, they became like
consequences.
The kind of caper movie came back at the beginning. The kind of twisty caper movie kind of came back into me. And then he kind of next one did was Solaris,
which is another sort of slightly more back to indie type thing.
Yeah. But then I would probably argue that of that period of films there, he's kind of never quite hit that same kind of audience again.
No.
I mean, he's done the
mainstream kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, he's done the next two Ocean's films, which are kind of big films, but they were just kind of... Was it because he was making it or because it was a George Clooney film, you know?
I would say, sort of this is skipping along quite a bit, but it's probably his next big one after that is probably Magic Mike.
Yeah, he's kind of...
Which I actually watched only a week or two ago.
Good film, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's I think what would have happened there though is a lot of people would have thought they were going in to see a different movie than they actually did. Well, I think it was probably advertised more of a straight up comedy type thing.
Yeah, the trailer really kind of makes it feel like a more kind of campy film.
When it isn't, it's very much a Soderbergh movie. It's all sort of very low key and, you know, handheld camera and, you know, it's like, it's not really like, funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that pretty, he kind of started doing kind of more genre films. I mean, he did The Informant, which was again another caper movie, but that was a Matt Damon film, wasn't it? And they did Haywire with the Lady Bourne film.
Yeah.
Which was all right.
It could have been, I think, it's like he tries these things, but he can never quite not just do what he does. You know, Haywire, there's a few really good sort of action fight sequences in it, but then there's a lot of sort of low-key downtime stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it was probably marketed more like an action movie, and I think people would have went in thinking that's what it was going
to
be.
Oh, it was marketed to be like Jason Bourne, wasn't it?
Well, that's not the same. Again, Contagion, probably, you know, marketed as like a end-of-the-world outbreak type film.
Yeah, but it didn't have any monkeys, though, did it? That was the thing.
And then not really being that, you know, so... I think his films, I think that happens because I think of the success of Ocean's 11, which is what a lot of people will probably associate him with. But then I would say actually a lot of people wouldn't even have a clue who directed Ocean's 11.
Not really, because it's more about the George Clooney, isn't it? It's more about the cast that was in it, because it's quite a big cast for the time. So, you know, I mean, looking at his whole career, I think, you know, he's done some very good films and done a couple of all right films, but, yeah.
He's not prolific. He's steadily released like a film a year.
Yeah. In the last couple of years, it seems to be like a film every kind of 6 months. He kind of got all his films done and out of the way.
Sort of, made films and had films out and just done that quite steadily, but, like, he never sort of... He hasn't sort of strayed into doing, you know, I'd say people would have said to Soderbergh, you know, do, you know, big budget stuff, and I think he's kind of stayed away from that, you know.
Yeah, because he could have been very easily kind of kept on going with, like, I think after he did the Oceans films, he could have probably kept on making those kind of big budget films.
So, like, we probably don't get a lot of stuff because it doesn't do well in America, or they just decide it's not for us, which is ironic because, you know, I would say probably in America, that's the place where a lot of Soderbergh stuff are probably going to get less of a...
Yeah. And then you've got, like, his last film is not getting a theatrical release in America, but it is in the UK.
That's interesting. I wasn't aware. Was it always planned as a TV movie?
I think because apparently they were talking about making it right back when they were doing Traffic in the early 2000s, you know, a long time ago. But I think all the studios didn't want to do the film because it was too gay, which, I mean, fair play, the film is pretty gay. But Douglas and Damon kind of stood by it and said, no, we want to do this film with him. And it just took a long time for it to get the money to get financed. And eventually, I think HBO did it. And the only way they could do it was to make it a TV film. So,
and it's getting major sort of, you know, a pretty good response.
Yeah, I was going to say, Douglas is so good in it. He's,
you know,
the great thing is he kind of totally, because Douglas is a very kind of particular actor. You know, he's not a very kind of, he's always in his films, he's Michael Douglas. You know what I mean? He's a very kind of masculine, Michael Douglas kind of actor. But
it's already won awards too. Did you know?
It win something at Cannes because it was in competition there. I think it was
It won the Palm Dog Award.
The best dog.
Yeah,
it's a good dog in that film. There are a lot of good dogs in that film. but in this film, he kind of goes into the Liberace character. You don't get all those kind of Michael Douglas mannerisms. That certain kind of set to his jaw isn't there in this film at all. It's really kind of interesting film for Michael Douglas to do. It's completely away from what his normal comfort zone is. So it'll be a shame if he doesn't get like at least nominated when it comes around to the Oscar season.
Because it's going to have been put out as a TV movie. I wonder how that'll work.
Yeah. Will it get nominated?
I don't know if it's going to get like pushed into the Golden Globes or if it's going to get pushed into the Emmys.
Emmys, maybe.
Well, because it got a theatrical release in the UK, does that mean it's eligible for BAFTAs over here but not Oscars over here? I don't know. I've got a clue.
It's very weird, isn't it?
We'll find out. Sort of a good. Go watch The Limey if you've not seen it, because that's an awesome film.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I think looking down that list, there's quite a few films that I've not seen that I wouldn't mind watching, actually. So, I've heard people say that the two Che Guevara films are very good.
I've heard that as well, yeah. I think both of them, aren't they on like on the same Blu-ray if you buy them or the same disc? Like you can get like two of them in, like on one disc, I think.
Oh, probably. I wouldn't know.
I think they're on the film anyway. But yeah, I really like Soderbergh. I think, you know, he's got some interesting films there, you know, both from a kind of independent standpoint and a kind of more mainstream standpoint. So go check out his work out if you've not seen it, especially The Limey. I'm coming!
I'm just looking as well. He's also, one of the films that he's done, he's also credited as the person as who turned away Sacha Grey from porn into acting. So he might be angry. He might have angered a lot of people.
Enraged.
I like my porn.
Well, that's a good... Thanks for letting us know, Jared.
It's lethal watching!
I've got a quiz. A quiz that is a quiz. It's got questions and answers.
That sounds like an awesome theme tune.
Basically, what I did was do you remember the last quiz I did?
Was that the taglines?
Yeah, I'm doing it again.
Yes. No, that's bad.
But this time, I didn't even try to make it easy. No, that's a lie. There are one or two that are dead easy, and the rest I was just like, fuck them. Let's see what they get here.
You see, Jared, I'm not sure I'm going to like this, because the last time we did this, I ended up watching Day of the Dolphin. You know, I hold you accountable for that.
Well,
it was your fault.
As I say, I just decided, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to pick some reasonably obscure things and we'll see how it goes.
Well,
so we'll be do who goes first. So I'm going to flip the coaster.
Okay.
And you can either have patterned or non.
Non.
So non-pattern.
What is pattern?
Oh, it's pattern. It's flowers.
Oh, nice.
So it's pattern. So Martin's going to go first.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Right. So Martin, ready to go?
Yes.
Tense. I'm feeling the tension already, man.
Tagline number one. The first casualty of war is innocence.
No, I'm going to say Schindler's List.
No, Phil.
I think it can't be this obvious, but is it Casualties of War?
No.
Ah. I was in the right genre.
Yeah.
I was thinking platoon.
Yes. Well done.
Because he's awards spinning up.
So Martin, so nothing and still. no pass on to Phil. All right, so Phil.
Rocking the donut. Here we go.
Tagline number two.
Yes, I'm ready, Jared.
Ready?
I'm ready.
This is Benjamin. He's a little worried about his future.
Benjamin?
I know this one.
Ooh, Martin knows it.
It's Clearing Up Time Cop. And it's
he's
not
a
back
cop
to,
in not time.
Back, not Back to the Future. No. California Man. It's not, is it? I don't know it.
No.
No.
Martin. The Graduate.
Yes.
Oh!
And Martin. Okay.
Out of my comfort zone.
Right, Martin.
Yeah.
Next one for you.
Oh, 2-point lead potential here. Good Lord.
Ready?
Yeah.
He's out to prove he's got nothing to prove.
He's out to prove he's got nothing to prove. Right, I'm thinking some kind of wacky comedy. I'm going to say Juice Bigelow.
No, Phil?
I don't know, but that sentence makes no sense and it's kind of special poetry.
Well, once you hear the film, you'll know.
He's out to prove he's got nothing to prove. Out for justice.
No. Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh!
Right. At least Martin hasn't got the 2-point lead, though. That would have been crucial.
Phil, you ready? Crucial.
I'm ready.
This is the weekend they didn't play golf.
The weekend they didn't play golf. Jesus Christ. This is the weekend they didn't play golf.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to throw this out there.
Yep.
Caddyshack 2.
No.
Oh.
I'm going to go with Caddyshack 1.
No.
Oh.
Deliverance.
No way! That is seriously the title for Deliverance.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so Martin.
It's like a keeper film.
Yeah.
You ready?
Oh, potential 2-point lead again. I don't like this.
Let's do it.
Okay, Martin. This is for you. It's time for a new kind of magic.
My gut instinct says Space Jam?
No! Phil?
See, Jared now says, can I have the tagline again, please, Jared?
Okay. It's time for a new kind of magic.
See, I instantly there go to think it's kind of magic, which can only lead me to Highlander. Is it
no!
Highlander?
No! Is Highlander 2?
Oh, wow.
Oh, Phil, on the cusp.
Oh, so close.
I
knew it was Queen. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of magic.
That's as close to a steal as you'll probably get.
Oh, man.
It's time for a new kind of magic.
New kind of magic. I get it now. Jesus.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is for you then, is it, Phil?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Come on, to draw it level. Come on, Phil. Okay. You can do it.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You knew the name, you knew the number.
You know the name, you know the number. What the hell?
I do this.
Is it Reno 911?
No.
Damn it.
Right, I know it's a James Bond film. I think it's GoldenEye.
Yes!
That's it in!
Ooh, so Martin could be on to a 3-point lead.
3-point lead. Wow. He stole the point.
You ready?
3-point lead. Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
So next one for Martin. You ready?
Yeah.
It's terrific!
Did Pat Sharp ever do Funhouse the movie?
If not, why not?
It's terrific. It's terrific. Scary movie.
Phil?
It's terrific. Mr. Destiny.
No. Citizen Kane.
Wow.
These are all real, folks.
I didn't even think that film would have a tagline. That's ridiculous.
Okay. You ready, Phil?
Oh, I don't know. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, next one for Phil.
Okay.
A monk, a punk, a chick in a kick-ass flick.
Bulletproof Monk.
Yes. Oh, Phil is on the scoreboard.
Yes.
Oh, right. You
pressure
ready?
On, pressure on yeah. Martin now. He's got Martin. To maintain that lead.
Okay. Well, I have to. It's gone a bit weird. Let me just. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, I need to word wrap notepad to get this in.
I'm still recording as well. This is good.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Martin. He's a covert agent trained in Vietnam. He has a master 6th degree black belt in Aikido and a family in the mafia. He's a cop with an attitude.
Could you repeat that?
Oh, no. Okay. Ready? Yeah. He's a covert agent trained in Vietnam. He has a master 6th degree black belt in Aikido and family in the mafia. He's a cop with attitude.
I want to see that film so bad.
You probably have seen it, Phil.
I probably have.
I'm going to say, I don't know if this is a film. I'm going to just say, cop who has mafia connections.
No. Phil?
Right. Can I have it again, please, Jared?
Oh, God. He was a covert agent trained in Vietnam. He has a master 6th degree black belt in Aikido and family in the mafia. He's a cop with attitude.
Right. So we're talking Vietnam, Kung Fu skills. It has to be a Chuck Norris film. It has to be a Chuck film.
Yeah.
Now, which one is he a cop? Not Walker Texas Ranger, because, you know, he wouldn't be in the mafia in Texas. It's not Mission USA, because he wasn't a cop in that. It wasn't Delta Force, because he was in the Delta Force, not a cop. And now I've run out of Chuck Norris films I can think of off the top of my head. Lone Wolf McQuade.
No.
Ah!
It wasn't a Chuck Norris film. It was a Steven Seagal movie.
Oh, that was my second choice.
Above the Law. Right. So,
of course I've seen that.
Phil.
This is to draw, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
The Magnificent One.
The Magnificent One?
Yeah.
The Magnificent One. Oh, crap. I don't know this. The Magnificent One. Battle Beyond the Stars.
No, that is the tagline to The Magnificent Seven.
Oh.
Don't know why, but that's it.
You weren't thinking of handing that over to Martin then?
Oh, well, Martin wouldn't have gone.
I would have said The Guru, so it's fine.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway. One for you. You ready?
Yeah.
The magic is back.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Wait. Oh. I know this. I'm going to say Lethal Weapon 2.
Yeah!
Yes!
Okay, Phil, this one's for you. You ready?
Yeah.
The magic is back again.
Lethal Weapon 3?
Yeah! Okay, so
for a second there, I was thinking, he's going to go...
I threw those ones in there for you, guys. I wanted someone to get some scores.
Yeah, but I was thinking, he's going to go, this is going to be Lethal Weapon 4. He's playing, this is a bluff.
You ready, Martin?
Yes.
Laugh, cry, sure the pants.
No, that's Citizen Kane, surely.
Day of the Dolphin.
I'm just going to guess Lethal Weapon 4.
No! Phil, any ideas?
Is it Laugh, Cry?
Sure the Pants.
Oh!
The Travelling Sisterhood of the Yah-Yahs Pants?
Phil, so close. So close. The Sisterhood of the Travelling Pants.
Yes. Oh,
you were so close, Phil.
I can't take that, can I? No.
And that would have been evens. That would have drew it.
Is it still 2-1, is it?
Yeah,
it's 2-1. So 3-2 to Martin, and there are two left.
Oh, my God. So I need this to tie, put the pressure on, yeah?
So this is for you, Phil?
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll hurl.
Shit. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll hurl.
I think I know it.
Come on, Phil, you need this, Phil. Come on. You'll cry, you'll hurl.
Clues in the thing.
Yeah, I think I know it.
I don't know it. Police Academy.
Oh, Phil.
Monty Python, The Meaning of Life.
No!
It's not.
Wayne's World.
Oh.
So, Martin, if you get this, it's over. Okay. If you don't get this, it goes to Phil, and Phil could draw.
Good. We go to a tiebreaker.
Okay, yes.
So this one's for it. This is it. Never been so tense.
I feel so tense.
Okay, right. This is it. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm still recording as well.
3% body fat, 1% brain activity.
Body fat, 1% brain activity. I'm going to have to guess, and I'm going to guess. Christ, everything's just. I'm going to just guess Jurassic Park. It's wrong, but I can't think.
Oh no, Martin.
Oh, shit.
Bill?
3% body fat,
1% brain activity.
I'm assuming it's got a good looking person somewhere in the film. I can't think of any films with any good looking people in. I can't think of films with people in right now, to be honest.
I know.
Mannequin.
No. Oh. Zoolander. Zoolander. Well, there we go. So Martin wins 3-2. Woo.
Oh, curse well done, you, Martin. Ben
Who won
Stiller.
The last one?
I won, didn't I think.
Oh, so, okay, so we're one each. So I'll do another one of these at some stage, and that'll be the decider.
Yeah. Wow.
Tense. Wow.
Tense. You guys get on and read up on taglines.
I just read all the film posters from all time.
For all time.
Yeah. Including Citizen Bloody Kane.
Well, there we go. Another quizzy rascal done.
Good job, quizzy rascal.
Cool. Nice one.
So there we go. So we'll have a decider at some stage. Maybe next time we'll just do it.
Yeah, on the third part of the Dragon Trilogy podcast. Hulden Christensen, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Am
What's
I right?
He doing nowadays, actually,
I don't know. But
what is Hayden Christensen doing nowadays?
I believe he's working on the sequel to Jumper.
Is he Cardigan
in his house? I'm jumping.
Tank top. Tank
jumping off the sofa. Hayden, get down off that sofa.
It's currently outside J.J. Abrams' house going, give me another chance. I can do it.
I could be a Force ghost in part 7, yeah.
I could be Luke Skywalker's son, because I'd then look like his daddy.
That would be so good. No, I wouldn't. Goodbye, Hayden Christensen. You're dead. Dead to me. You ruined Star Wars.
Well, I don't think we could put the blame squirrely on him. But
I can. I can and will.
Okay, done. Thanks. You kidding, you bitch?
It's all on your shoulders. Anyway, good podcast, boys.
Cool.
Good podcast.
Good podcast. Good quiz, Jared.
Thank you.
Good turning up late, Martin.
And the next time we speak, Phil,
we will have actually met in person.
We will have had bum sex.
Yeah. Can't wait.
We'll only speak after, though.
Yeah, he'll just grab me in the street and have his rough Irish way with me. And then... Hello, Phil. See,
if anyone wonders what ConCon is, it's basically Michael Barrymore's pool party.
Well, that's slightly different than what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Ideally, it'll be like Michael Barrymore's pool party. You think that'll be the good version?
Kind of hoping. Yeah. You already said it's going to be like the Blue Oyster Club.
Yeah, me and Jonah just walk in and everybody be wearing like leather clothes. That's what
people wear.
I am actually envious of you.
You are, aren't you?
Because I think, yeah, that would be awesome.
It's going to be a good Saturday, that is.
It is.
And a really
bad Sunday.
Sunday. Me and Jerry got up very early trying to navigate through Glasgow back to the airport.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
It'll be a joe.
That's fine. I've got an app on my phone that tells you where nearby buses are, so.
Oh, okay, sweet.
There you go.
It's my eyes, normally.
well, we'll see who works the best, won't we?
Fancy.
It'll be a combination of your eyes and my phone.
We'll get there.
we're totally going to miss our flights. We really are going to miss them proper. Like, really miss them.
Like, I'm imagining we'll end up like that TV show that was ages ago where the people got cryogenically frozen in the tunnel.
Yeah, I remember.
And they woke up like 30 years later. It was all post-apocalyptic.
Oh, that was on ITV and it was terrible.
Yeah, do you remember?
The worst ending to that show. Oh, it was horrific. Mm. Oh, man. I was going to say it could end up like
some train, it was called, like the train or...
The tunnel, I think it was. Tunnel, they were in a tunnel, weren't they?
Time team?
Or suiting, yeah. It was time team. Time team. Exactly. That's in poor taste. Didn't one of them die this week or something? Didn't Terry Nutkins die?
Yeah, no, the guy...
Mike?
The professor guy from time team.
Which one?
The guy who was in it forever.
The guy with the beard?
Narrow it down, Mike.
He did have a beard, yes. But not the guy who did the digging, I don't think.
Not the Cornish guy with the ginger hair.
No, not him. That was another guy.
Oh, man. Was it with the one with the jumpers?
Yeah, the jumpers. Jumper guy.
Oh, no. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So we'll dedicate this podcast to his memory.
Damn straight.
Whatever your name was.
Jumper man with the beard and the glasses.
Man.
I bet in heaven he's getting all the fossils.
Alan Grant?
Yeah, Alan Grant, that's his name.
Wow.
You remember that episode with him and Tony... Ed. That episode with him and Tony Robinson had to restart a park.
Put Sam Neill.
Sam Neill's dead. It's so taken so early. Anyways.
Cool. Well, you know, that'll do. Martin, yeah. I'll see you soon.
I will.
Yes, have fun.
We will, Martin, without you.
Bill, I'll see you soon too.
Yes, we'll speak to you soon, and I will see you in the physical flesh.
Physical
flesh. Makes me feel cold and deadly.
Dirty. Physical flesh.
Bye. Oh, God.
Bye.
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 Lethal Watching was brought to you by Phil Doyle and Gerard Boyle
and Martin Cobain
in association with abadeducation.com.